Thanks for joining us on this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more content and to stay connected with us, make sure to visit our social media pages at Freedom Gateway Center and freedomgatewaycenter.com.
We are so excited to be able to do this time with Brian Simmons, who is a very near and dear friend to us. And even though we can't be together in the same space, we can actually be looking at one another and talking with one another on this awesome technology called Zoom. And so, Brian, we are so thankful for you doing this today. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Debbie and Randy. It's a joy.
Yeah, you have been such a father to this house, and we just invite you to speak into our house and our region. You know, we've been doing a series on faith, hope, and love, and we just felt it would be just so wonderful if we could have you share a little bit with us about the preeminence of love in that trilogy. And so, you know, what is it that makes love such a centerpiece of your ministry? I know I've heard you say in the past, you know, we've had great speakers come to the church that you formerly led, this mega church, and wonderful speakers that could speak on wonderful topics, but nothing was as empowering to people as love. And so would you like to maybe take that and just speak to that a bit?
That's so true. Great observation. You know, for me personally, let me make it personal and then I'll make it more doctrinal. But on a personal level, I grew up, and I don't want to cast any shadow on my family in any way, but I grew up in a home where love was not an abundant commodity. You know, I think my parents had the concept that if I provide a roof over your head, put clothes on your back, and give you food, that's love. That's really it. Children are to be seen and not heard. So I virtually was shut down, you know, and if you know me at all, I can be very gregarious. So to try to shut me down just stuffed things inside of me that needed to get healed. And so I think going through my adolescence and high school years, I look back now and how I was seeking attention and I wanted love. I was wanting something that would accept me and love me with the weirdness and all the, you know, all the humanity that surrounds each of us. It seems like I got a double dose of that though. But someone that would, you know, have that accepting, affirming love. I think maybe my love language is affirmation, words of affirmation. And I didn't realize that until recently, but that's why now I feel like I'm giving words of affirmation, so to speak, hopefully God's words, not mine, but putting the word of God in that affirming, put it in a cocoon of the love of God, and it makes the medicine go down. People will respond to love. They really will. That's the one thing that is so rare on this earth. And when people taste it and see it in the flesh, see it being acted out in front of them, they will respond to it. I did. And I discovered a group of people that loved me. And they wanted me to get out of my sin, get out of my darkness, and come to know Jesus Christ. And as a 20-year-old, I got connected to just a group of people that were really wanting God. And I met Jesus through that experience of relationship and feeling for myself that I was loved. I was led to the Lord. Now, remember, I'm 20 at the time. I was led to the Lord by a guy that could hardly walk. He was so old. I mean, I may be exaggerating a little, but I know he was in his 80s and he was a pastor. And Brother J. Milo Haynes was his name. And he put his hand on my shoulder and around me and loved me, could see through all of the goofiness, the strangeness, and saw something and gave the gospel to me. And I said yes to that. And it just burst open inside of me the cascading love of God, that I was accepted in spite of my drug addiction, in spite of my sins. You know, I could never even put a list down of all the sins I committed. And so miserable of an existence that I had prior to coming to know Jesus. And then all at once, the light coming on and love lifted me. It healed me. It changed my innermost being. And I became, if I can say it this way, I became a loveaholic. I became a terrible, addicted man to the love of God. And there was like an antenna in me that would just go to where I felt that same love that brought me to Christ. And if it was through pastors like Randy and Debbie, boom, my heart just connects instantly to that. And if it was a child, if it was, you know, a preacher or whoever, a friend, someone on the television or radio, I just responded to that message. And it made me wonder, are other people like that too? That does love really unlock the heart? So it put me on a quest to study the love of God and to be fascinated as I want to be a scholar of his heart, not just words on a page. And so that brings me to the more of the doctrinal side or the theological side of why love captured me is because God is love. You know, that wonderful passage, 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. One of the reasons why it's the greatest is because that identifies who God is. It doesn't say in the Bible God is faith. It doesn't say God is hope. But it does say clearly God is love. And if you don't know love, you don't know God. So love becomes an irrefutable proof of knowing God. To know love is to know God. To know God is to know love. Now, that doesn't need to diminish faith and hope. It rather puts them on the two lampstands next to love, burning brightly in the holy chamber. Faith burns brightly because it always puts us outside of ourselves. And hope, likewise, always puts us into the expectation of good. So, and you mingle that with the very characteristic of God himself. God is love. Those three, those three candlesticks in the Holy of Holies burn so brightly, and they rightly so, they should burn in our hearts forever and ever. So yeah, I want to live up to the accusation of being a lover. I want to live up to that in every way, to love God and to love my family and to love others. I can't think of a greater commodity more needed in our culture today than the love of God. I've seen its power. I've seen how it heals. I've seen how it wins the lost in a jungle village. I saw it, you know, and to forgive, that's the attribute of love, isn't it? Love is long-suffering, it forgives, it quick to overlook an offense. Love builds a roof of a covering. It covers you. Love covers a multitude of sins. And that word there that Peter uses, a love covering, it puts a roof over you of security so that in that umbrella of love or under the covering of love, you could be who you are and not be struggling with rejection. You know, that if I sin, if I do something God doesn't like, if I do a no-no, then I'm out of here. But no, love is a covering, it's a shelter, it's a roof over our head that protects us from the storms of life. Thanks for asking. This is probably my favorite topic in all the world, of the mysteries of love, the joys of love, the intricacies of the love of God that we'll never, ever fathom all of it, can we? We can never exhaust the love of God. There's height, the width, the length, the depth, the immeasurable dimensions of God's love. So we should talk about it more, in my opinion.
I think, yes, absolutely. So one of the things I'm hearing from you, Brian, is you're talking about covenant love. You're talking about a decisive love, but you're also talking about emotional love too. And so maybe you could kind of get into that a little bit, because I think in our culture sometimes there's kind of a not a good defining line between the two of those.
Yeah, great question. And, you know, we just think of our human relationships, especially in marriage. Love can't be divorced from feelings. If it is, it suddenly dries, it shrivels, shrinks, it becomes brittle, and it disappears. Love has to contain feelings. God so loved the world. There's feelings on God's heart when he looks at this planet, when he looks at humanity, when he looks at people that are different than us, and he loves them. And that passion has to involve emotions. My training theologically was Baptist. I was trained and raised in Baptist circles, perhaps given some of the best theological training, I think, that I could have received. But it was drilled into our heads. Don't go by emotions. Do not go by emotions. And as a pastor, a leader, don't let anyone ever see you with your emotional door open. You know, they don't let them see your vulnerability. You've got to be the leader. You've got to be the strong one. Shove the emotions down, no matter what's going on in your life. Get up there and preach that sermon and just keep your heart out of it. And it so did not resonate with me. So I began to ponder, and I don't know much about it, but I do know that God's heart is toward us, and that involves feelings. It says in Hebrews 4 that he's touched with the feeling of our weaknesses. So if the feeling of my weakness touches him, then that must mean he has a feeling that can identify with my heart. So I've discovered that the feelings or emotions of our heart, God created them just like our imagination, just like our conscience, just like our will, just like our mind. He created our emotions. And all of the above have to be dedicated, devoted to God. So we need to bundle up those emotions. And if you're an emotional train wreck, get a hold of yourself, and bundle up those emotions and then present them to the God of glory and let him have the rose you bring to him of your heart, the rose of Sharon. You bring that tenderness to him, and he will not crush the bruised reed or extinguish the smoking flax. He will restore the heart and heal the emotions. So my point is that it's impossible to divorce feeling from love any more than you would want that in a friendship or a marriage or any other really relationship that matters to us. We care. I just found out today of a loved one in my family, and they've asked that I not put it out anywhere, but I can just say without naming who it is or what family member that I just found out he has coronavirus, and is very sick and somewhat compromised with his health issues. So I'm praying. And I woke up early this morning, in the middle of the night, just my heart burning for him, feeling what it would be like, the anxiety, the fear, and the sleeplessness that he's going through and the pain. So if I, a fallen human being, can enter into the feelings of other people's lives, so much more can God, who loves us supremely.
I just so appreciate that, Brian, because there is such a great tendency for people of faith to somehow seek to divorce themselves with that reality. And it's so dehumanizing and so uncharacteristic of the God that we know in the image of Christ. But you think about how people often struggle with God and with the conception of God, and they see him as a judge and one who is incapable of loving. And yet one of the things that we think about, even as we're contemplating Mother's Day and this time of year where we celebrate mothers and the nurturing heart that mothers bring, the ability to actually access love. We have a friend of ours who recently passed. He was a Marine, but he was a man who worked in Vietnam as a medic, and he would hold men as they were dying, and he said invariably they would be calling for their mothers.
Not their father.
Yeah. And so the mother heart of God, if you will, is just something to just reflect on, that aspect. That could you maybe expound a bit on that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to creation, with God created male and female, and that he took out of Adam, not a rib. If you look at the text carefully, especially in the Passion Translation, he opened Adam's side. He literally took half of Adam. He took half of the heart and interior makeup of this man, and he put it into this doubly refined woman. If Adam was flesh, was dirt refined, then Eve was doubly refined, because she likewise was held in the hand of God, and God imparted into her not just Adam life, but he imparted into her part of his own being. And motherhood was created by God. It is a divine, beautiful, noble calling. It is every person alive owes it to their mother who gave birth to us. And to cherish our mother and to honor motherhood is it's the calling of every culture and every man and every woman to honor our mother. So I see God, I see God as Father, and he does say, our Father who art in heaven. We don't pray to our mother, and there is a sliding tendency among certain feminist circles in the church to go that direction, and I reject that. However, and the reason why they're doing that is because femininity and motherhood and being a woman has been put down by the church in so many different facets. But what I see is God as a mother. He created motherhood. He engraved us in the palms of his hands. He says, a mother may forget her nursing child, but I will never forget. I am more than a mother to you, is what he's saying. And of course, Paul, the great apostle, he likewise talked about nurturing the faith of his children in Christ, like a mother would tenderly nurse her children. So if it was legit for Paul, I think it should be legit for us. But back to God's nature, the Holy Spirit is always feminine in both Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Just that, it really blows you away. And of course, that's what got the shack on the map, because it portrayed Holy Spirit as feminine. And God is feminine and masculine. He is both. He's not one or the other, and we shouldn't divide asunder what God has joined together. But I think on this Mother's Day, that it's so important that we honor and celebrate femininity. And mothers that have passed, they cause our heart to ache and tears to come to our eyes. And mothers that we're distant from and we can't be with during the season, it's so hard. We want to be with them. And then we think of the young girls and we say, may the day come in God's holy plan for your life that you become likewise a mother that gives birth and nurtures and cares for children. So the beautiful heart of God is tender and compassionate. The word for compassion is a homonym that means womb. In other words, God's compassion is his womb. God has a womb. How do you think he created man? He gave birth. Adam was the son of God, it says in the genealogy of Jesus. So this compassion that only a woman, I think, fully can understand. I think men, we touch it. We do embrace it. We do long for it. And we do express it at times as a father would care for a child. But there's something about a mother's heart, something about the heart of a woman that God delights in, God loves and cherishes, and he's not ashamed to compare himself to that and say, my compassion comes out of my womb, and I'm gonna nurture you with an umbilical cord of love, and I'm gonna just care for you as any mother, infinitely more than any mother would ever care for a child. So I hope that helps, but I think we have to, because of the strangeness of the hour we're living in, we have to say our Father, and to resist that temptation to call God our mother, although he has a mother's heart for us. So may that encourage you and every woman watching today.
I really appreciate all of what you just shared, and I am interacting with when you had done a Zoom call with our students, and you referred to what we're dealing with in this hour and how the love of God is so important for us to be able to know that. You had referred to 2020 as being a year of full of reversals, yet also surprises, and that things are going to look different than what we thought they were going to look, and how important family was going to be.
And look at how what's happening.
Yeah, and also that we were going to have to basically war to enter into rest.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if you have even some further thoughts about where we find ourselves as a nation at this hour, and just even what we're dealing with, and the what we see is to be the grand opportunity for the church to arise in her greatest hour and to really display the love of the Father.
Oh, my. Yeah, I think we're in the season of greatest upheaval in our lives. You know, it's like 9-1-1, but it's every day it's going on.
Yeah.
And so we're in a season, a period of time that is going to last, I believe, a couple of years. And I'm jumping ahead just a little bit, but I really strongly feel the word of the Lord for 2021 is going to be righteousness. That the end result of all that we're going through is going to be righteousness in government, in banking, in politics, and especially in the church and in our own hearts and families. That righteousness will prevail, and the book of the Bible that will be most important for 2021, and I hope people will play this over sometime in 2021 and confirm this. It's going to be the book of Jeremiah. And he was the prophet of righteousness. And I think he thundered a message of, you know, the Babylonian captivity was imminent, and they were going to be taken captive, and they still rebelled, and they still were stubborn. And may we not be those stubborn people that close their ears. And if it comes in a package we're not used to, if the shaking starts to get personal, you know, it's okay to sit in our home and watch it on TV. But when it really starts, you know, like, where's my toilet paper? Where's my food that I want at the store? If things get disrupted, and I believe they will, that we step into that peace, that we wage war over our peace. And anything that's distracting you from peace is not of God. And I really see that love and relationships and peace in our heart are going to be really important throughout the rest of 2020 and as we go forward into this amazing decade. But just to finish what I'm really feeling, I feel like institutions, especially the church and every institution, is going through a radical upheaval that has only begun. And the financial issues are going to become very important, you know, to sow in our time of need. Isaac sowed in a time of famine and reaped 100-fold. David stopped the plague by taking an offering. So sowing and being generous and being extravagant with our hearts and with our finances is going to be a testing point for this year. And our buildings may become a little bit less important to us, and our relationships infinitely more so, especially family. And just remember, as you see the crumbling of things around you, this is not the end. Even Jesus said, this is not the end yet. So there will be a time of end time message being heralded out, but this is not yet that end. This is the time of preparation. This is the time of where the messenger came and said, the bridegroom is in the land, trim your lamps and come outside and meet him. And that's what we're doing. We're trimming lamps. We're you know, cutting things off and pruning things off that were not giving us life. And we're buying oil and maybe a few extra canned goods, but we're buying oil in the spirit realm for this great bridegroom feast that is coming. So wonderful days, and they're not going to be as bad as everybody says, but they're not going to be as good as some people are saying either. God is going to weave us through the obstacle course of 2020 and we'll end up as a righteous people in ways we never thought we would see with our eyes. A righteousness. A king will reign in righteousness.
Even if you were sharing it in reference to the preparation,
yeah.
You know, I think about motherhood and, you know, just kind of tying it back to that and, you know, the preparation and the nurturing. And I think God so cares and so loves us that he is overseeing us in this time in order to bring us to a place where, as James says, nothing is missing and nothing is lacking.
I love it. It's so true. And, you know, just like you said, like a woman will prepare for her family, will get clothing for the kids for school, and will prepare meals to set on the table. This is the heart of God giving us preparation. This is really a season of preparation. We are on the other side. We're across the Jordan. We are definitely in our inheritance. But the problem is, you still got a walled city. You still got Jericho. You still got Ai. You still got the Gibeonites with their deception. And if we don't have discernment, we'll be sucked right in. And you've got all of the cities and all of the giants in the land that we now have to take on. It was a little easier in the wilderness. Maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought in the wilderness, but now we've got warfare of bigger giants. And this space we're in right now, here in May of 2020, we are being prepared, absolutely being prepared for the greatest harvest, the greatest season ever. And mighty women of God, daughters of Zion, mothers of Israel, rise up like Deborah, the judge, the prophetess, and cause village life to come back and community to come back. In Judges, it says village life ceased. Community was ended until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. I love that. It was the women that restored community. And we're going to need you, moms, more than ever. Women of God will need you more than ever to help restore community as we get past these speed bumps.
I can't help but think, as you're speaking about that, how the love of God in the church, it's like I'm thinking about mothers, and I'm thinking about first-time mothers, and how oftentimes there is in the heart of first-time mothers, as they're carrying all the questions of whether or not they can really be the mother that they're called to be and so forth. But something happens in the heart of a mother as well as a father when they look at this progeny and they look at this child, and all of a sudden love is birthed in the heart. And I just think about the church, and even as we're being prepared, I just feel like there's going to be, you know, and some of us are going, gosh, I don't know if I have the heart for the harvest that I need to have. And yet I feel like there's something in the analogy of what a new mother goes through, and the mother of the church being the mother rising up to nurture new babes. Any thoughts concerning that?
I love that comparison. And you know, it is something magical when you see that baby, when a baby's born, and it's like a download, a flood of emotion and love overwhelms you for that child. And then another one comes and you go, boy, I hope I can love this one, you know, my second. It happens all over again, every single time. And a mother can tell you, a father can tell you, God gives love for your children. If you have 100 of them, you still love each of them. And so in this harvest, we've got to see that as the, you know, the Shulamite gives birth to the harvest in Song of Songs. She's pregnant. Her belly is a mound of wheat, which that's the harvest. She's carrying, you know, the harvest within her.
Come on.
And she's got to release it. And I think the women of God, the Shulamite lovers, are going to release the harvest, that the love that will nurture, that will win the lost, win them to Christ, will love and forgive and clean them up like a newborn baby, but then to nurture them and feed them and watch them go through their stages of growth until we get a generation of champions and giants that will conquer and take the nation. So yeah, a harvest is here. It's imminent. And I think we're already seeing the the major raindrops of love and harvest grace that's falling among the nations. I'm hearing reports of people coming to know the Lord, pastors, they're online. Please keep doing it. It's not, you know, we look at how many watch, how many views. Well, I only have 50 views. Listen, what if the one person is watching that God is going to touch them and make them a Dwight L. Moody, you know, or make them a Jonathan Edwards or an Amy Simple McPherson, somebody that will win the lost and nations will come at her feet. So you're impacting people, even pastors, through online ministry. And don't despise it. You know, it's so funny. We all of us, we made fun of the televangelists. Now we all are televangelists. Now we all have become one. God's sense of humor, you know, okay, you want to make fun of those people? I'm just going to put you in front of a TV screen, in front of a computer screen, and microphone, and you're going to have a shot at it. So, yeah, may the harvest come.
Well, Brian, would you be willing to pray over Freedom Gateway Center and even over this region and just give us a prayer blessing, and we'll cut you loose?
Yeah, we know Michigan has really gone through so much. Our heart breaks with you, for you, and I know pockets are doing really well, and then other communities are just really hurting right now. So just take my hand spiritually as I reach out, that spiritual connection. At least we're social distancing over, you know, online, so you don't have to worry about catching anything except love. But Father, we pray right now for the beautiful Freedom Gateway Center, the wonderful flock of God that you have raised up, Lord, and you have raised up a woman of God, a man of God to lead the flock with the shepherd's heart, with shepherd's love. Lord, I thank you for Pastors Randy and Debbie. Thank you for their families and ministry. Thank you for every word they speak for the kingdom of God, every person they have prayed for and baptized and taught over the years. Would you bless them and reward them and pour back into their hearts fresh courage for this season? And Lord, for every mother watching this right now, Lord, we pray encouragement to flood them. Greatest of these is love. I pray for a fresh baptism of love to come upon every woman watching this right now and every man as well, Lord. We don't want to leave out the brave warriors, the mighty champions, the men of God. We pray men and women will be infilled right now, Lord, with a fresh life and courage and passion to do the will of God. Lord, help us to jump over the hurdles of love, the tests of love you put before us. Can we love our way through this difficult relationship? Can we love our way through the tension at home or with finances or health or work? Lord, we ask, yes, give us that grace, Lord. We want to be helpers, Lord, to each other, to instill more love, to encourage love, Lord, so much the more as we see that day approaching. Let the passion of Jesus Christ fill the heart of every student, every family, every person watching this today, every single one, Lord, that's a part of Freedom Gateway Center. May you embrace them. May you fill them. May you encourage them beyond anything they've ever known before. And Lord, let that cascading love of Christ pour into their hearts right now. Lord, you are enough. You're always more than enough. And we thank you, Lord. Let the kiss of shalom be on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Brian, we are just so pleased that you joined us, and we're so excited about the success that you're enjoying of the Passion Translation. We remember in the very beginning, as you first translated Song of Songs, that glorious story of love, and just what a passionate thing that has been in enabling you to just pick up this calling and this commission. We're so pleased to just have a relationship with you and appreciate all that you've been to us. And we pray the Lord's blessing of increase over your ministry, that everywhere I listen, I hear about people referring to the Passion Translation. It's just such a rich translation. I'm so grateful that you're completing it.
Well, you're so kind, both of you, and we have such a good relationship that goes back for years. Our first time in the D, first time in that area, and how you embraced us, loved us, invited us, welcomed us in, got to meet so many people. You know, some are there and some have gone on, which is okay, but we just fell in love immediately with the Odells, and you hosted us in your home, and my. You've been so kind to Candace and I, and we will always, always hold you in our hearts as dear friends.
And us to you and Candace.
Yeah, make sure you say hello to Candace. Give us a big squeeze. And
I can't wait for that.
We can't wait until you're here with us again in March of 2021.
Yes, it's going to be an event.
Righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We love you.
Love you too. Thank you and all your friends. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, and thanks for listening to this week's Sunday Morning Teaching. For more resources and to get connected, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.